It's the weathermen. The weather girls, even. It's raining men. Moramai, good morning. 10 past 11. Shore Radio Van, and this is Manx Radio. On the show this morning, we'll be talking about Archibald Knox. He is one of the most enduring Manx artists, as we've said. And in February, it is the 75th anniversary of Archibald Knox's death. Born in Tramode in 1864, Knox was not only an accomplished designer, but an artist of some standing. He's best known outside the Isle of Man for his work for Liberty & Co., where he was an integral part of the Art Nouveau movement. In particular, his Kimmerick silverware and Tudric pewterware are still very much in demand internationally, especially in America. I'm joined in the studio this morning by Liam O'Neill from the Isle of Man Archibald Knox Society, and he's going to be talking about the society, their new website, and also the Archibald Knox Trail following the 75th anniversary of his death. It's a fantastic day, and we've actually got a ticket to give away, very kindly donated by Liam, for the trail. That's worth £65. So we'll be talking about how you can get into the draw to win that ticket a little bit later on. But if you have a question this morning or a comment about Archibald Knox, the work of Archibald Knox, then do give us a call, 66 13 68. Or you can text 166 177, and you can send us an email straight into the studio as well, studio@manxradio.com, and we'll try to answer any questions you've got about Archibald Knox and the work he did here in the Isle of Man. That was Queen and One Vision from their album A Kind of Magic. It's 11:15. Moramai, good morning. We're talking about Archibald Knox, one of the most well-known of the Manx artists, and the legacy to the Isle of Man of Archibald Knox. I'm joined in the studio by Liam O'Neill, who is the director of the Archibald Knox Society. And Liam, I can't believe that we were just talking. It's 2 years since the first time you came up onto Talking Heads, and we chatted about the start of the society.
Yes, I remember that quite well, and we've gone a long way since then, Dan. We've got a membership now of moving up towards 160 members from all over the United Kingdom, the British Isles, and a growing membership in the United States. In fact, I just had an inquiry yesterday from two people in the States about joining our society. They're already life members of the Charles Rennie Mackintosh Society, so there's a link there.
And you've just given me your mission statement on a piece, yes, of paper here. It's quite a specific area, isn't it? You're not sort of broadly concerned with his works or his, you know, looking at preserving it, but you're looking at promoting the legacy of Archibald Knox. If I just read it, the mission of the society is to promote the legacy of Archibald Knox, both nationally and internationally, thus furthering the artistic and cultural identity of the Isle of Man and attributing to Knox his rightful place in the history of the decorative arts as one of the foremost artists, designers of the late 19th and early 20th century. So Do you think that the legacy of Knox is still fairly underrepresented?
Yes, I think it is. I think there are certain people and collectors and dealers, and there are people who know Knox quite well, worldwide, in fact. But I think if you were to go down into Strand Street today with your microphone and ask people in the street, what does Archibald Knox mean to you? I think you get quite a varied answer. It's probably relating to a certain hostelry in Oncombe, which shall be remain nameless. We're probably in the same position as the Charles Rennie Mackintosh Society found themselves 35 years ago. Had you done the same in Glasgow in the 70s, people would have and asked, what did Mackintosh bring to mind? It would have been toffees or raincoats or something, but certainly not the architect and designer Charles Rennie Mackintosh, now is world famous and particularly an icon in Glasgow.
I think you're right. Knox's pieces are very much in demand. The work especially he did for Liberty are very much in demand, and amongst certain collectors will fetch a very good price at auction.
Absolutely. I just came across a piece in the last few days from a gallery in New York, and they're selling a piece of Knox's Cymric silverware. It's a small cigarette box with a magnificent design, but their asking price is $100,000. Now that's a once-off piece, and it's a collector's piece. It's a museum piece, really. I wish we had the money here to buy it.
I suppose you made a good point, though. You know, if you ask the man on the street what does Knox mean to them? They're going to say to you, well, why should I be interested in Knox? What is it about Knox that is important to me in the Isle of Man in the 21st century?
Well, apart from the fact that in any population there's only a certain percentage of people who are interested in art anyway, but I think Knox is a particularly iconic figure in the Isle of Man. Worldwide, he's a Manx celebrity, really, international. And I think as we promote the Isle of Man internationally, it is important for us to have icons that are recognised internationally. Knox was the main protagonist of British Art Nouveau, the decorative arts at the end of the 19th and early 20th century. So he's of crucial importance to us, I think.
And also, I think his his designs have perforated and sort of filtered down into Manx society now. And when we see that very distinctive, sort of, as you say, decorative Nouveau Celtic fusion, you see the sort of the lines, people instantly associate that with Celtic ideas and the Isle of Man.
Yes, absolutely, and I think it should be used more frequently, these Celtic designs. But what Knox did was, he was influenced by the Book of Kells and the Manx crosses, the ancient Manx crosses, the Christian crosses here in the Isle of Man, and he took the very tight-knit interlaced drawings of those books, and he released the energy, as it were, into the free-flowing lines of Art Nouveau. That was his genius. That's incredible. He had an incredible style. His stamp is on everything. And I think we can make a lot more use here in the Isle of Man of that Knox-style Celtic design. There is no reason why I would like to see a big Celtic design on the side of the Ben McCree as it sailed off across the sea, or our Euromanx or somewhere like that, using these Celtic designs that are easily identifiable, also Manx products here that we want to sell them internationally and promote the Isle of Man. We could be using these Knox designs. He is as modern today as he was in his own time.
I think that's a very good point, and we'll touch on that. Those designs are very, very timeless. You look at them now, and they're not dated. Even though they're dated and they're categorised under the Art Nouveau movement, they still have a very relevance today. And we'll touch on that a bit more in a moment. But Liam O'Neill is with us this morning, director of the Archibald Knox Society in the Isle of Man. 2 years old, good Lord. We're talking about the 75th anniversary of Archibald Knox's death. We're going to be talking about what the society will be doing to celebrate that, to commemorate the occasion. And we'll also be giving you a chance to win a place on the Knox Trail, which is going normally for £65. It's a fantastic day out. We'll touch on that in just a few moments, but do keep listening. We'll be back in just a few moments. We all know the name Archibald Knox, but what of the legacy of Archibald Knox? He was born in Cronkbourne in Tramode in 1864. He studied at Douglas, got himself a Master's in Art, and then he moved to England, Liam O'Neill, and he taught there, but he taught for much of his life, didn't he?
Yes, he was a teacher, in fact, all of his life. From the age of 16, he joined the Douglas School of Art and very soon became a pupil teacher. He was teaching in the Douglas Grammar School, and eventually in 1897, he left the island and went to London. His colleague, A.J. Colliser, had already gone from the Douglas School of Art, had acquired a master's degree at the Royal College of Art, and now at this time was head teacher at Redhill. And Knox followed him over. So the day job, as it were, he was teaching in several schools in the Surrey area. But he was also working for perhaps, easily say, one of the most prestigious design studios, not just in the United Kingdom, but in the world, which was the Silver Studio. Now, Knox was what we call a ghost designer. He designed for the company, and the company, the Silver Studio, sold those designs on to Liberty & Co. Liberty & Co. never attributed to Knox these drawings, but most of them now, quite a lot of them, you can find in the V&A in London. But Liberty & Co. actually took the credit, as it were, for those designs. And particularly in the last year of the 19th century, they started a whole new line of metalwork in silver and pewter, namely Cymric and Tudric, sort of logo names or brand names, if you want.
And the Welsh, and that was taken from their, one of their founders, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. One of the directors was a John Llewellyn at the time, and he was quite a talented person as well, quite a businessman, and he sort of tapped into that whole Celtic revival that was happening at the end of the 19th century.
And so, I mean, it seems odd to us now that Knox performed as a teacher and worked as a teacher, but he was so utterly prolific. It's strange that he never decided, that's it, I'm going to cash in my chips as a teacher, I'm going to concentrate on being a designer.
That's a question. People might put the same question to teachers today. If you've got a love of a particular subject, he was passionate about art and he was passionate about teaching. And he was quite innovative in his own way. He had something like 300 slides that he had made, and he used a lantern projector with these images. And when he spoke and gave public lectures, he always spoke without notes. And that's caused a problem for us because we don't have a record. There's very little record, although he did write several articles that were published in the studio, and the builder one he published in the studio was the Isle of Man as a sketching ground for the artist, which is just as valid today as it was in that time. And another he published in the builder, it was the designs of the Manx crosses, which he came into conflict with one of the most important experts of the day, Romilly Allen, who took him to task. And the young Knox had the audacity to reply and criticise this person. Knox had his own personal copy of PMC Kermode's The Manx Crosses, which was a major publication in 1907. And I viewed Knox's own copy, which is heavily annotated, and I can see that he was disagreeing with the great PMC Kermode on several issues, and little notes written in the side.
So, and he, I mean, the Celtic crosses featured very heavily. You mentioned the Book of Kells before,
yes.
But he, and as you said, he took this very heavily ornate and very, very carefully constructed series of Celtic lines, and he just simplified them to 2, 3, 4 lines with very,
right.
Very bright colours,
yes,
in
yes.
Many cases, in the style of the burgeoning Art Nouveau movement, and made them his own.
Absolutely. To me, Knox is principally a colourist. Some people see him from the point of view of design, but to me, he's a colourist, and we can see that. Liberties went to the trouble of sending over a box of semi-precious stones to Knox so that he could see where they went into the various objects that the capuchins that sort of line the various pieces he designed, particularly the silverware. So yes, you're quite right in that. But he was a very prolific artist. Well, if we can make the comparison between him and Charles Rennie Mackintosh at that time, 1900 to 1905 was his flora. That's when he was at the height of his career. Charles Rennie Mackintosh was exhibiting in Turin and various cities around Europe, and he had huge backing from patrons and from Glasgow, which was probably the wealthiest city in the world outside of London and New York at that time. Knox was living in Sulby. He had bought a little house in Sulby, and from that little cottage in Sulby, he sent over 400 designs to Liberty.
It's incredible. He was like the first tally worker, wasn't he, in some
yes,
ways?
Indeed.
The fact that he did these 400 designs, in addition to an incredibly prolific output of watercolours.
Yes, his watercolours are magnificent. I think probably he's best known here in the island, generally speaking, for his watercolours. The island has been responsible for keeping that alive. We had an exhibition last Easter, was with the big event for the society. We had 40 watercolours exhibited at what was then the Courtyard Gallery, now the Sale Gallery, and the late Norman Sale was a great supporter of our society. He selected these watercolours. And Norman was tremendous. He had tremendous flow of words when speaking about Knox. He spoke of the jazz-like use of colour, that Knox's watercolours are interactive. They're a serious piece of interactive art.
There was some criticism, though, that his landscapes weren't easily identifiable.
I disagree with that. I think his landscapes are easily identifiable. He has a particular style, this sort of Zen-like almost, some people describe it as unfinished, but he leaves it to the imagination. He said this himself. He said, you know, there are some pieces of art that you would admire, but could you bear to live with them on your wall in your room when you see the same thing? But his paintings, you see something different. It's interactive, the art.
Liam O'Neill joins us this morning from the Archibald Knox Society, and we're going to be talking in just a few moments about the Archibald Knox Trail, which is designed to celebrate the 75th, or commemorate, I should say, the 75th anniversary of Archibald Knox's death, one of the most unique and enduring artists that the Isle of Man has ever produced. If you'd like to get in touch, if you've got a question or a comment about Archibald Knox, 66 13 68, the phone lines are open. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Archibald Knox. So you can text us, 166 177, and send us an email into the studio, studio@makesradio.com. So this is a little bit of something special for our Valentine's Day listeners.
The greatest love songs of all time. Valentine's Day on Manx Radio.
So true. Funny how it seems, always in
just true. Spandau Ballet and True. Anyone of a certain age will have danced to that at the end of a disco. It's 11:40, your Ramsay Bakery time. Moramai, good morning. We're talking about Archibald Knox here on Manx Radio, and we should be proud, I think, here in the Isle of Man to have Knox as one of our greatest sons, I think, and the impact and the legacy he's left on the world. Liam O'Neill joins me from the Archibald Knox Society, and it's 75 years since Knox died here in the Isle of Man, and you're organising, along with the Archibald Knox Society, quite an interesting day out, the Archibald Knox Trail.
Yes, indeed. In fact, that's on the Saturday. On the previous evening at St Matthew's Church on the 22nd, we're in conjunction with Manx National Heritage, and this event is sponsored by Anglo-Irish Bank. We're organising a memorial service to Knox, and participating in that will be the Manx Choir, Carjan Kuja, and Peter Kelly of the Victorian Society will be giving a lecture. Now, that event is open to the public, and it's free, and it begins at 7 o'clock, and in fact, it's going to be recorded by Manx Radio. The following day, we have the first Knox Trail, and that starts at 9:15 at the Manx Museum with a tour of the Knox artefacts at the museum by the curator, Yvonne Creswell, and a visual presentation of, perhaps I could say, Knox's greatest work, although not recognised for that. He's often referred to with his silver work and his watercolours. But this is one of his great illustrations, the Deer's Cry. It's his magnus opus, really. He was working on that for over 20 years, and we're lucky to have that at the Manx Museum. After that, we'll be visiting various places around the island that are connected with Knox, at Crunkburn Village, you mentioned earlier, where he was born, and the Douglas School of Art. We'll be visiting his tombstone, his grave in Braddon Church, not too far away from Crunkburn. And we'll have expert guides, Peter Kelly and Frank Cowan, along with us for that. We'll be having lunch at Green's Vegetarian Restaurant, and then after lunch we'll be going on to Mackle to look at the Manx crosses that were so influential in Knox's work, and of course the Hall Caine Memorial, which was designed by Knox. He actually died when he was doing that, and it was finished by one of his students. We'll be returning to the Manx Museum by about 4:30, and then at 7 o'clock we have a reception at the Sefton Hotel with music by the Manx group Scale, and our first Archibald Knox Society annual dinner. The speakers at that, in fact, people will find this very interesting, is the director of the Charles Rennie Mackintosh Society, Mr. Stuart Robinson, is coming over to the island, a guest of the Minister of Tourism and Leisure, and he'll be speaking after dinner, as well as the archivist from Liberties and Co. She's coming directly from Paris, would you believe, to talk about Knox. So important is he. Although her particular field is an expert in textiles, she gets so many inquiries still today about Knox that she wants to promote the idea as well. So for the dinner, we still have some places. We have up to 75 seats now for the dinner taken, and there's a few more there if people would like to come along to the dinner only and reception. That's a cost of £30. We have three places left on the coach for the Knox Trail. One of those we mentioned earlier, I would like to offer to our readers this morning, but not totally a gift. There's a little catch in
this. There's a catch, yes.
Yeah. You've got to ask, you've got to answer a little question. It's not difficult. And the answer to the question is actually on our website, and our website is www. Am I right so far?
Yes, absolutely.
www.archibaldknoxsociety.com. If you go on there, you'll find the answer to this question, or you can just guess if you wish. Shall I give the...
Let's do it now.
So the question is, what is the number of watercolours exhibited by Knox at the National Gallery of Canada in 1926? Was it 60, 80, or 100?
So the number of watercolours exhibited by Archibald Knox at the National Gallery of Canada in 1926,
yes.
And those answers again, A, B or C?
60, 80 or 100, and the answer is on our website.
60, 80 or 100, so the answer is on the website, 66, 13, 68, call us. The trail itself departs on the Saturday, the 23rd of February, at 9:15. That normally costs £65, includes two dinners. I suppose you get lunch at Green's and you get also admission to the annual society dinner at the Sefton Hotel. 66 13 68. You can call us, you can text us with the answer, 166 177, or email us and tell us that. If you get it right, you get yourself a ticket to go to see the Knox Trail. 11:52, your Ramsay Bakery time. Well, we did our competition to win a ticket to the Archibald Knox Trail, and well done, John Dogg Collister, who
yes.
correctly identified that Archibald Knox had 80 pictures
yes, 80.
Exhibited
yes.
at the National Gallery. That's an astonishing amount.
Yes, and it wasn't unusual. He was exhibiting at Whitechapel Gallery in London, 1921, 23 and 25, and he was churning out 100 watercolours a time. In fact, that's how they got to the National Gallery of Canada, because the director of the National Gallery of Canada spotted them in Whitechapel. In fact, somebody offered to buy them, and Knox refused to sell them. He never sold a painting. He just gave them away to his close friends.
Incredible. Well done, John Dogg. And he's also said that that Mrs. Collister will be going along on the trail as well. So
oh,
you've
that's
still, got,
good.
Still
yes.
got one ticket left.
We've
if
got
anybody's
ticket,
interested to the go on the Knox Trail and dinner at the Sefton, all inclusive for £65. Also, there's still places for the dinner only, reception and dinner at £30 a person. Some very authoritative speakers on Knox, and it remains for me to say, Liam O'Neill, thank you very much indeed. That contact number, if anybody is interested in the society, is 665459. You can also go to the website at www.archibaldknoxsociety.co.uk.
No, it's .com.
Sorry, .com. Sorry,
yeah,
archibaldknoxsociety.com.
Yes.
So that's it. Thank you very much indeed. It's been a pleasure as always. Very informative indeed.
Thank you very much, Dan. It's great to be here.
Good. Thank you very much indeed, Liam O'Neill. It's 11:54, your Ramsay Bakery time. We're going to be back with Flight Watch in just a minute. And after midday today, the Select Committee on Immigration has been hearing evidence from various people. One of the comments that came out of the Select Committee is that should there be a language test for the work permit, should you have to have a basic standard of English before you receive a work permit for the Isle of Man? Taking calls, texts and emails on that after midday today.